Hey, To The Point listeners, it's your boy Chris. This is going to be the first episode that we play from Rhino X 2025, and it's with my favorite co-host, Mr. Chad Peterman, and my dear friend, Mr. Wyatt Hepworth at the Any Hour Group Empire. They shared the stage together, one legend, one influencer, one night only. But those guys did a fantastic, the amount of compliments I got from the participants about this one. They kicked off the entire event. Well, I mean, I guess I kicked off the entire event as the greatest showman. But as far as our first speakers go, they kicked it off and they set the tone right out of the gate. So enjoy this this episode, which is the rehash of Rhino X 2025, kicking it off with Chad Peterman and Wyatt Hepworth.
You as the leader, you determine the culture. That is one of your jobs, is you are the barometer for where your company is going to go. You as the leader have to take responsibility for your culture, or it will create itself. And when it creates itself, you're headed down a very slippery slope. The best managers separate themselves because they want success for the people on their team as much or more than they do. And that is what I tell our managers is, not, you can't just say it. They have to feel it. Like, they have to understand that you will literally run through a wall so that they can be successful. And you're going to do everything in your power to make sure that they hit their goals. They make more money than they've ever made before. They've got to have that type of just attitude that they are going to be there come hell or high water for their people.
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Well, this is exciting. Chris and I talked about this. I called him up one day and I was like, hey, I had this idea. And before I could say it, he mentioned, well, why don't we combine this and do a kind of interview style? And for me, as I'm sure with many of you, getting to talk to kind of the guys that paved the way and how curious they still are about learning. I'm just really honored to be sitting up here with Wyatt, someone I've looked up to. We've both been a part of Nextstar for a number of years now. It's kind of crazy to think about. I'm going to kind of get into some of the questions. Obviously, there's some of the tactical stuff, but I think also some of the more personal stuff. You know, what drives you? What are you thinking about? Different things like that. And one of the things that I'd like to start off with is, in talking to people, we're in the people business, right? Yeah, we may put in furnaces or roofs or water heaters or whatever it is, but at the end of the day, we're selling skilled labor. So Wyatt, the first question I'd like to ask you is, obviously in building Any Hour, you have created an unbelievable culture, which I'm sure many people know about. How are you kind of pouring into your managers, bringing up people that, you know, were maybe once in the field and are now leading people? What's kind of your philosophy on that? And then what are some of the, maybe the more tactical things that you're doing to grow people within your organization?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, we've always, when I actually took over the business, there were no employees. So I really grew it from zero employees to where it is now at over 3,000 employees. So as I was hiring people in, really the business never really started growing, Chad, until I started being the one that actually was involved with hiring. So what I realized by hiring people into the business, kind of stumbled through things for many, many years. And then about 2005, I actually decided I didn't like the business that I'd grown. And so I started actually interviewing people and deciding who I wanted to have come in because we were losing so many people. And then that's when I realized what people wanted. And what people wanted was they wanted to know there was a future for them to be able to grow in the business. And realized that, I need to create that. And as I created that for them, I had to take loans out and I had to take risks and I had to prove that I could actually do the things that I'd promised them I could do, and that took more risks and more money and all those things, and just kept on growing from there because we started making the things happen that they wanted. And what they wanted was to know that they could be a manager one day. They wanted to know that they could actually be a leader one day. They wanted to know, a beginner wanted to know they could be a technician one day. They wanted to know that they were actually cared for by the people that worked for them, and not just a bunch of guys in the office that didn't care if they were crawling around the attic. How about you, Chad?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, one of the things that I've learned over the years is, you know, when it comes to building culture and, you know, attracting the right talent, to me, I always associate the word culture with consistency. You can do a party, you can do a breakfast, you can do all of that, but culture really doesn't stick until it's consistent. So, you know, what are the things that you're doing consistently to build that culture? I know for us, one of our staples is every Tuesday at 8:30 a.m., from 8:30 to 9, we do leadership training. And so if you are in our organization and someone reports to you, you are in that training. Whether it's virtual, if you're not, you know, in Indianapolis or whatever it may be, but every Tuesday without fail, we will not miss a Tuesday, and that's the commitment that I've made to our team. And it's nothing crazy. Some people are asking me, like, well, like, what do you do, or you know, what's that look like? Like, you can find, there's plenty of resources. Like, it doesn't have to be earth shattering. It just needs to be consistent. And so for me, when building that culture, when thinking about your company, what are those things that you do consistently that are going to be marks of your culture? And I think that, to your point, understanding, you know, what your people want, what drives them, and everybody's a little bit different. And I think that that's really important when you're thinking about the people on your team and how are we going to motivate and lead them to that next level. One of the other things that I think about when I think about, you know, kind of any hour and, you know, what you guys have built. Obviously, now it's, you know, grown to different brands and stuff like that. How do you kind of monitor the culture as you get bigger? Because obviously, as the leader, you become more removed from maybe the guy's boots on the ground. How do you really ensure that consistency, you know, now across states and, you know, the country?
Very good question. So, you know, the reality is I don't believe you can control culture. You can't control a culture. Culture is what you choose to have as in your business. Whatever you come to work with that day, that's your culture. And so back to AnyHour, we grew that from really zero to over 100 million in one location, right? And as we grew, we ended up having a drain department. And if you come out to our business and you come into a drain meeting, they're sitting on the toilet and they're given a throne or whatever, a king hat, and having someone sit on the toilet when they hit certain marks or what have you. And but when you go in the electrical department, they're not doing that. They're not sitting anybody on a toilet. I don't think any electrician wants to sit on a toilet. So every single department meeting that we're having, it has its own culture, and that culture is really set up by the manager that's running that. So if we're always changing managers out in that business, that culture is going to be confusing. So I really believe in promoting people from within, if you at all possibly can. And if you can't, you can't. But if you do promote someone from outside, you better keep that manager in place, because I think it's confusing for technicians to see a new manager all the time. And then when people are going through managers, that manager is probably going to go work somewhere else. And then you start going to these companies and you start seeing everybody just jumping from company to company. So one of the things we've done really well at AnyHour is actually keeping the managers and letting them build their culture. I always say to the different managers, your culture is what it is. It's what you decide to do. I don't care what your budget is for your meetings or for taking people out to dinner or your parties. You know, you have no budget. Go make some dang, you know, loaf of banana bread or whatever over the weekend and bring it to everybody and show them how much you care and build your own culture. So actually, culture at AnyHour, being over 100 million at one location and then now having three locations of AnyHour, every culture of every department's different based on those managers. And then every company that's been part of our group, we respect their culture. They have their own culture. We love their culture. We build that. AnyHour Utah, you guys, you had to shave up to her 70-something million dollars. You couldn't even work in the business without shaving. I shaved every day for like 20 years, you guys. And then, man, when we put it to the vote and we said, do you guys, you know, they didn't want the beards anymore because no one else in the group had beards, or everybody else had beards. So they didn't want to shave every day. So we put it to the vote, and man, 3/4 of the company had like beards the next day. It was pretty crazy. So, so I think culture is what you make of it per each department, and you let it grow and you let it evolve and you don't try to control it, and you just make sure you have great people controlling that culture. How about you, Chad?
Yeah, no, I think those are all really great points. I think the one thing that I would add is, you know, you as the leader, you determine the culture. That is one of your jobs, is you are the barometer for where your company is going to go. And I think so many times I talk to people and they're like, hey, I can't get the culture right. Like, what are you doing? And to Wyatt's point, I think everyone's going to be different, and that's okay. You know, we have 11 locations and the culture is different at every location. You know, these guys over here, they're, you know, they're best buddies. They're hanging out on the weekends. These guys over here, maybe not. And that's okay. But I think that the important thing is you as the leader have to take responsibility for your culture, or it will create itself. And when it creates itself, you're headed down a very slippery slope. And so if someone isn't performing on your team, if a manager is not doing their job, or, you know, a technician's not performing, ultimately that responsibility is yours. And I think that's a key piece of leadership, is understanding that you are, the buck stops with you. You have to take responsibility for it, and maybe you need to sit down and have a conversation. Maybe you need to, you know, intervene and, you know, talk to someone a little bit differently, or whatever it is. I think it's just we all have to understand that that is our responsibility, and blaming someone else is a recipe for disaster. One of the things that you mentioned is talked about is when we think about your business growing, obviously with growth come new challenges. You're thinking about different things that you may have not been thinking about, you know, 5-10 years ago, whatever that may be. I guess at this level, and given kind of the landscape that we all sit in home services, what are some of the levers that you guys are focused on as far as moving the business forward and growing?
Yeah, so before every meeting with the C's and with the higher levels of the business, and then all the way down through, we make sure we get everybody focused on the real reason for running this business. And I think it's hard as a business grows to I think people start getting so separated from the day-to-day of the business that they start making decisions that are not actually best for the customer, or best for the technicians, and best for the office staff. And so we make sure we focus with a quote before every single meeting. We have a little lesson, a little 5-minute to 10-minute discussion on what's important to the business, and that's going to relate around the customer and the employee winning first and second. If we are having every meeting at every single level focused on the customer and on the technicians and on the office staff winning in our business and in our locations, then that is what's going to continue to grow our business. I was talking to somebody last night, and they said when they take care of the customer, they win another two or three customers by doing that. And that is so true, and it has to be the focus no matter how big you are. Otherwise, there's a lot of companies here that are up and comers, and you're taking market shares from these guys that have gone with PE. You're taking market share because they've lost the focus and they're just worried about EBITDA. And so keep focused on the business. And I love, Chad, I loved how you jumped in and said, you know, you do create the culture. You're right. You create that atmosphere that allows that culture, so you cannot have people disrupting that. You're so correct on that, Chad.
Yeah, I think the thing that I would just kind of reemphasize there is as you get bigger, it's very easy to lose focus on the blocking and tackling of these businesses.
Sorry for the interruption. To the point, listeners, have you heard of Rilla? Are you using Rilla yet? If not, are you for Rilla? See what I did there? Rilla is the leading speech analytics software for the trades. It is on a mission to bring physical ride-alongs to an end. You can coach your reps with virtual ride-alongs now. They're 100 times better, faster, and much more efficient than the physical ones. All you got to do is use the Killa Rilla. That's R-I-L-L-A, Rilla.
At the end of the day, what we do is really simple, right? It's super simple. It's just not easy. And that's why people are able to scale companies and some aren't. And so I've kind of been living by this philosophy, especially as we've grown. I myself have lost like focus on like, what are we doing? And so oftentimes I walk in and I'm like, why are we doing it? What are we doing? This is crazy. This is super simple. Like, we just have to get back to the basics of what we're doing. And so one of the things I would encourage you guys to do is, obviously, there's a lot going on, right? You're trying to do this, trying to do that. All this new technology is, you know, it's coming at us every day. And while a lot of it's great, we can't lose focus on what it actually takes to take care of a customer. Are we answering the phone? Are we dispatching the right tech? Are we doing a good job in the home? All of these things are things that can get overlooked because we're just focused on the bottom line or scaling or all of these things. But it's a heck of a lot easier to scale when you're really, really efficient. When you're not efficient and you're just worried about kind of top line, how much can we grow, you can easily lose focus and then bad things start to happen. Let me tell you, it's a hell of a lot easier to make a change with five people on your team as opposed to thousands on your team. It's like moving the Titanic. So the more efficient you can get is only going to propel you into the future, from my perspective.
Yeah, that's very good. So what would you say is your biggest lever?
Yeah, I think for us, you know, right now, I mean, everybody's aware, right? We went through COVID. There's a huge spike. Look at all the data. And then it's come back down. But it's not come back down to where it's, in my mind, it's lower. It's just if you take out the COVID years, it's still moving in the right direction, which is great. However, I think it goes back to what I just said. The things that we're focused on right now are, how do we book more calls? We're getting the calls in. Now, it's not as many calls as we had a couple years ago, but are we booking every single call that comes in? We probably paid for it in some form or fashion, so we might as well book the call. So it's booking the call, and then it's converting out in the field. They called you out to fix something. This is my question to all my technicians. And the one thing that we always say is, how many customers are you okay not doing business with? Everybody always looks at the conversion rate, right? It's like, okay, yeah, we're converting 7 out of 10. Well, there were 3 customers, and we get it. There's probably some customers you don't want to do business with. But how many customers are you not doing business with that called you out to fix a problem and decided you weren't the right company to fix the problem? Wow. And again, I think it's super simple, right? Sorry, I didn't deliver any earth-shattering news, but that's what we're focused on. How do we book every single call? How do we convert as many as possible? And then obviously, how do we carry out the work so that, you know, you don't have warranties and callbacks and all of that stuff? And that's literally what we're focused on each and every day. How do we get as efficient as humanly possible?
That's really good. One thing that's been surprising for me, because like Chad said, when you're taking care of a business that has 5 employees, then when you have 10, you're still taking care of the people that when you have 10, and you're taking care of those things that need to be taken care of, and 20 and 50 and 100, and you just keep growing on top of that. So what's been new for us is going from one location that basically myself and my team created to bringing in other companies and being 30 locations within 3.5 years. But what really has been surprising for me is seeing how many of the companies, they know their booking percentages, but they don't know how many calls they're actually missing and not even answering. And that's been really surprising, Chad, because we just never even thought to look at that. When you have a company coming in and you're paying money to bring them in as a partner and they're getting millions of dollars, tens and 20, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever it is, million dollars, you just kind of expect they have those things figured out. And that's been surprising, Chad, is is how many things they don't have figured out, and it's been great. And then we've learned some things from some of these companies that we bring in also, and been able to improve our business. So that's been quite fun.
Yeah, I would say one thing that I think can really help is, if you haven't already, is document the customer journey. So you've got this public out here in your market that lives in a home and is going to need your services at some point in time. We don't know when that is. We try our best to predict it. Weather can sometimes influence it, all those things. But you've got this public, and then they call or they somehow contact you. And really just document it from that point to the point that they picked up the phone or sent you a message or whatever it is, all the way through the finish. Document that whole process, and then figure out where are all the holes in those buckets. Where can things go wrong in those? And then really drive into where are all these holes and how do I plug them? How do I figure out how customers don't fall out of the journey? Because, you know, we've all had the customer that calls, they book an appointment, they cancel the appointment. Well, why did they cancel? Do I have a process to go rescue that call? Why did they cancel? Is it that I didn't have enough capacity to serve them on the day that they wanted it served, or whatever it may be? But really document that out and figure out where can you fix things that are ultimately going to, if 10 customers call, how do I do business with the most amount of those? You know, whether it's 9 or maybe even 10 or whatever that number is for you, figure out that journey. And I think that you're going to see surprising results as opposed to, well, I just need more leads. I just need more leads. I just need more leads. You got plenty of leads. What are we doing with those leads that's ultimately going to result in our success?
That's good.
One thing, just kind of switching gears, because I think this is important, and I think there's been a lot of talk around it, and especially at this conference with guys like yourself who've done just amazing things that we all look up to. What would you say, like, where does your passion lie for the business, right? Like, you took it from zero to where it is today. Obviously, maybe that's changed over time. Where do you, like, what do you really enjoy doing in the business?
That's a really good question. I absolutely love working with people. I was watching one of Tommy Mello's little clips that he does live, and I think he was reading out of a book about being a workaholic, and I'm a workaholic, you guys. My whole life's been wrapped around this business. And I'm sure Chris Yano's going to put this publicly on a Facebook page, and my dad's probably going to see it. But my dad was not a workaholic. My dad was sometimes a workaholic because he needed the money, and he thought he was going to get rich. And then the next thing you know, he's blowing all his money, and he's going looking for gold up in the mountains. And I'm like, get back to work. So anyway, but my dad was a gold digger trying to find money all the time, trying to find the easy way to get rich. And so I love to work, you guys. I love helping people not get rich, but I love helping people actually be able to provide for their family. I grew up in a house where we didn't have food every day, and where, you know, we didn't necessarily have clothes, you know, very good, very nice clothes or holes in my shoes a lot of times. So anyway, I love being able to hire a blue-collar technician type person in that probably hasn't had a ton of money. And I just love that we can have guys crawling around in crawl spaces, crawling around in attics, and that they can actually go make a good living for their family, be able to get a house one day, provide for their family. If their wife wants to work or not, great, awesome. If their kids want to go to school, they can afford to do that. I just love seeing good, hardworking people be able to make a good living for their family. I have passion for that still, and that's what drives me. I have a hard time not working. I'm available at nights. I'm available in the mornings. That's why I kind of watched his little video there and was thinking, okay, where am I at with this whole thing? But I just love the people. I love one-on-one. I love promising that we're going to go places and then delivering that promise to the people. You know, Dustin Van Orman could have had his own business. A lot of you know him. Jeremy Hansen could have owned his own business and did at one point. A lot of people that have chosen to work with me could own their own businesses. I love being able to help those people have success without having to go own their own business. That is just fun for me. I've made a lot of promises to people and continue to do so, and that drives me to continue to achieving. I'm not done. I'm not ready to. I'm 52. I'm not not ready to retire. I don't know if I'll be in it as long as Leland, though, man. I know you're like 60, but, you know, I think I probably got, I don't know if I can make it to 60. Maybe, maybe. What's that? Someone said something? Oh, yeah. I don't know, dude. Think you'll ever quit, Ishmael? Yeah, so there's a lot of passion in the trade. There's a lot of people that have trusted to follow what this business says we're going to do and what I say we're going to do. And I love last year with Nick Saban, how he said, you know, he has to be able to say to the recruits that are coming in how long he's going to be there and commit to them that he's going to be there for their full 4 year of college and some of his staff coming in, knowing that they're going to have a future with him. And that's something that I think we all need to be taking a look at as we're given a vision of the company, is that we have our recruiters given a vision of the business. Are our recruiters going to be out of that business in a year or in 2 years? Or can they say they're going to be in our business for 10 years and 20 years? You guys, I recruited for our business and were heavily involved. No one got hired in our business without me interviewing them from 250 service to 35 million, you guys. I interviewed everyone. And I could tell them, I'm in the business. I'm going to be here. I asked anyone moving into management needed to be giving me a 10-year commitment. Anyone that was coming to the business gave me a verbal 5-year. And that's what I asked for. And if they stumbled on that, they're like, I don't know. You know, I could have a hard conversation with them, and we discussed it. And you guys, we at any hour, you know, we haven't lost people at any hour. Now, we have a lot of businesses that have joined us, and they all have their own culture, and we respect that. And if their culture is to not have, you know, not have that commitment, then that is what it is. So yeah, Chad, how about yourself?
Yeah, so you know, for me, if you don't know my story, my dad started our company back in '86. He was graduated from high school, was a technician, started out of the back of our garage when my mom was 6 months pregnant with me, which I don't know how he did that, but he pulled it off. And so, you know, he never. My dad was not a builder. He was a hell of a worker and knew that. You know, he was going to build a company, but his goal was, like, the word scaling in my dad, not friends, all right? That wasn't what he was trying to do or anything like that. But, you know, for me, when my brother and I kind of took over the business in 2015, you know, our idea was, how do we scale this thing? Like, we want to do something. And I oftentimes think back on, like, why did I want to do that? Like, why was that such a important thing? And I think, you know, as many of us with, you know, families and, you know, parents and different stuff like that. For me, it was, I want to make my dad proud, right? Like, that's my goal in this. And what I found out was it started there, but what it transpired into was, like Wyatt said, it was about the people. It was about seeing someone who came in as a install apprentice and is now running one of our branches. My guess is he didn't have that vision for what his life was going to be like when he first started. And I think that one of the things that I think gets lost and I feel like we need to focus on, because collectively as a group, we're all making an impact in the world that we live in. Think about all of the livings that you guys provide for the people on your team. We have just under 500 people at our company. I say that because one of the conversations I had with my dad not too long ago was, you know, he was always against getting big, right? He was like, we'll never get over 50 people. Like, that's the limit. And now the conversations that I have to remind him of, you provide a place of work where someone can collect a paycheck for almost 500 families. And that's not just the people that work with you. That is their kids, their spouse, maybe extended family in some circumstances. And I just think that that's so powerful in what we do. It can get lost in, you know, margins and revenue and all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, we're in the people business. We employ people and we take care of people. And so for me, that is the special piece of, I love going into work every day to see the people on our team and find out how we're going to take care of customers and solve problems. And hopefully create a place where someone can go chase their potential. That's what we always say in our business. Go chase your potential. You get to set the bar for where you want to take your own life. We only get one shot. So what are you going to do with that? And my goal is to provide a platform so that the people on our team can go do the same. And just like Wyatt said, it's very special to think about the people on your team that could be doing anything else, right? We've got a lot of people on our team that don't come from the industry, and they chose to come and work at Peterman Brothers. That's really special to me, and something that I'm super passionate about and probably will do for a long, long time, because that, to me, is the rewarding piece of what we get to do.
Very nice. Chad, what defines your success in your career, do you think? And you and your family, because you have a family business, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think for us, it's building something special. We talk about that a lot. And I think that through building something special, the rest of it takes care of itself. And that doesn't mean that you don't have to work at it. You got to work really damn hard to pull it off. But I think if the kind of the foundation is we want to create something special, something that no one has ever done before, something that no one has ever created, we can do that. Because if that's what we set our mind to, and then we focus on all the things, the blocking and tackling, the margins, the KPIs, all of these things, if we're doing that, but we're doing it to create something special, to me, we can create a much better product than if it's just all just pounding numbers down people's throats and this is what you need to do and do it because I said so and all of those things. It's how do we create something special? I always tell people, new hires, when they come in, congratulations, this is your last first day ever. And the hope is that in doing that as a team, we continue to grow and create opportunities for people, and we create something really special. So that is, to me, what really defines success in what we do. How about yourself?
Likewise. Wow, that's beautiful. I think I'm going to use that one. So that's your last. Say it again. That's your
congratulations. It's your last first day ever.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful, you guys. So. You know, I think you have created a fantastic business. I've watched you over the years and watched you grow from what you joined Nexstar in 2016, I think it was. 2015, yeah. So
joined the same year.
Oh well, wow, both of you. Yeah, it's been quite impressive watching you. So.
Thank you. In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, Housecall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
We ready for Q&A?
Yep, we're gonna go ahead and open it up for Q&A. That worked out perfect. This microphone.
Hello, check.
We'll do about 10 minutes.
I just want to say, like, every time I'm around Wyatt, I pick up a gem, and Peterman as well. But that, you know, getting the commitment when you hire them, 5 years for field, 10 years for management, perfect.
Who else? Come on. This is your opportunity. There you go.
So that was awesome. Thank you, guys. I 100% resonate with what you guys are saying about it's easy, not easy, but it's simple to affect culture when you're small. We've got a couple locations now, and I'm super struggling trying to figure out how do I make a location that's 3 hours away feel what it feels like at the home location. What advice would you guys give for me when I've got management teams in place now and I'm really struggling trying to figure out how to get to the bottom level of, or really not just the bottom level, but all the way across how to influence culture when you do have these management layers in between?
So stop trying to make it what it is in one location 3 hours away. It's not going to be. And I think you just have to be okay with that. The way that we always do is we all operate by the same values. So we have 5 core values. We all operate by those. But your culture is going to be different. And your culture is led by the person that is in charge at that location. Now, it's your duty to kind of breathe through them. This is what we're talking about. So when we have our leadership training every Tuesday at 8:30, my goal in talking to them is to hopefully influence that manager so that whatever I think that they should be doing, whether that is having consistent one-on-ones or, you know, really diving in to understand and know your people, whatever that is, like, that is the consistency piece that I hope they take back. Now, they may do it differently than I would, and that's okay. We're all different. All of our managers are going to do it differently. But I think you got to be okay with the culture being a little bit different, but making sure that you are consistently pushing down through them what you want it to be. And it may not be perfect, but you've got to find the right people who believe in what you believe in, and then they can carry that out.
Wow, that's very good. Exactly what he said. Having, like you said, the right people running that. Something to add to that, and I'm sure, you know, Chad does this also, is years ago when we were smaller, and I don't know your size, we would travel to other businesses and let our managers see what other cultures look like, and then we would meet. I would go with them, and we would meet at night, and we'd discuss what they liked, what they didn't like about the cultures, or what they could see, and they just get a snapshot, right? So, but we could at least discuss it, and that would bring up conversations about the culture we had back in their department or their part of the business, so we could have an open conversation, and it was more open because we were able to talk about, it's easier to talk about someone else than it is your own issues, right? So, and it allowed them to say, well, we do this and this and this, and then so that helped. And now that we are a bigger business, we're able to go around to the different partners, and even we'll have our electricians, like, I'll just say this, the electricians were a little down as far as their meetings, and I'm a master electrician, you guys, so that's a little sad for me to walk into that meeting, and I'm like, oh my gosh, these guys seem a little depressed, and I do feel bad for them. It's the smallest part of the business. We started the heating and air and the plumbing, and those sites just grew really fast, but they're doing $15 million at one of the locations in electrical. It's a good size company, and I walk in, you know, and it didn't feel the way that I wanted it to feel, and it felt a little down. And you go over to the sewer and drains side, and those guys are like playing with poop every day and like smelly, cruddy basements and stuff that are flooded, and they're over there having a blast and doing like push-ups. If you guys have been to our meetings, they're like doing push-ups and workouts in the morning, and the energy's there. So we started bringing the managers over there so they could see what was going on over there. Well, I'll tell you what, I got a video this week while we were here, and I wish I could just throw it up here and show you. We had they showed us the electrical training. You haven't seen this, but they came in and they were doing all kinds of workouts. It was like pretty dang sweet. They had one of the managers dressed up like Richard Simmons and came in and like totally threw on this whole meeting. And this guy's kind of one of the shyer managers, but he was like full on, you know, making it happen. But what Chad said, it's going to be determined by your manager. Like, what does that manager tolerate, right?
I'd love to hear an example or a story of a shining star manager to this point of trusting your managers. I'd love to hear how they've made the biggest impact, what made them such a shining star for you guys, and made, you know, and I don't know if you can add, you know, when you had made a poor hire and you had to part ways from somebody, but I really love to hear just a story of just the best manager you guys have had and what made them so special for you guys.
So I would say that there's one characteristic that I think separates, though there's probably multiple, but the one that I look for the most is, are you willing to serve the people on your team? The best managers separate themselves because they want success for the people on their team as much or more than they do. And that is what I tell our managers is, not, you can't just say it. They have to feel it. Like, they have to understand that you will literally run through a wall so that they can be successful, and you're going to do everything in your power to make sure that they hit their goals, they make more money than they've ever made before. They've got to have that type of just attitude that they are going to be there come hell or high water for their people. The ones that aren't very good are the ones that just want to tell people what to do all the time and, well, hey, you didn't hit your number yesterday. I'm aware. Okay. Well, what are you going to do to help them? You know, I always tell our managers, you have to do everything humanly possible for these people to be successful, because that is true leadership, is serving them. You know, you look at some of the best operators, their management team. Like, you go into Tommy's place, and his leadership team would literally do anything in the world for him. Why is that? Well, it's because he is willing to do anything in the world for them. And to me, that is where, if you can get a manager who truly believes that and wants to carry out that mission, like, you can grow some really, really incredible things, because those technicians will run through a wall for that manager because they want to make him proud. They know that he has their back. So that would be one story, and we've got a couple in there. We need more, but it's not human nature to want to put someone else's needs before your own, but that is what leadership is all about. We're not wired that way, and so you got to kind of break out of that and really just push that to hopefully get the best out of your people.
Chad nailed that. Wow. That was awesome, Chad. You guys, that was awesome. That was awesome. We have a manager named Ricky Barnes. He was our plumbing manager. He grew Utah pretty big in plumbing. He might have been the guy that passed the electricians. No wonder they were so sad. But we moved him up to Ogden. We opened Ogden up. It's just north of Salt Lake. He's, I think, in his second year. He's telling me he's going to do over $30 million. That's way higher than his budget. I actually think he's going to do it. But exactly what Chad said, he's doing those things. He's willing to run through. He's come to me and said, Wyatt, I will run through a wall for you. But then his guys know he will run through a wall for them also. He'll take the guy, you know, but this is what he does. He takes guys golfing on the weekend if they like golf. He's answering the phone at night. He's into work, about 5 a.m., and he's in the morning at 5 a.m. His wife lives in California, you guys. He sees her about, he goes back home, I think, for a few days or a week every month, but he's still answering the phone and still working. But his guys know that he runs through the wall for him, and he knows that, none of your California companies try to steal this guy now. So, but yeah, we've got a plan for him. He's growing that business for the next couple years. He's, I think, how old is he? 62? He's like Leland. He might go till he's 63, I don't know. So, but you guys, yeah, Chad nailed it. If you find those guys, they'll work hard. You know, how many of you do a service system in your business for your customers? How many of you? How many of you don't do a service system for your customers? All right, so find a manager that will do the service system for their employees and treat the employees the way that you expect employees to treat your customer. If you have managers that are not teaching, that are not treating your employees the way they're supposed to treat your customers, then your business isn't going to go very far. So I remember years ago in Nexstar, I met with one of the accountants over there. I won't name the name. And he didn't know anything about the service system or anything. And he was kind of, I'm a little bit of a difficult guy sometimes, you guys, especially if I'm not getting what I need to get. I was the guy that at Nexstar said, I want to sit at the back of the training room during the training, and they didn't want that to happen, and I said, no, I'm going to sit at the back of the training with my guys, and then we're going to go to dinner at night, and I want to hear what's going on in there, and they made exceptions for me. I'm that guy. So anyway, one of the accountants over there was kind of being hard to work with my gold points, if you know what that is, and I want to use those however I want to use those. And so anyway, But yeah, so I said, have you even been through your service system? And this was years ago. And he's like, no. As I went straight to Jack Tester, I said, you know what? Your staff needs to go through your service system training and show so they can see what service you're trying to teach all of us how to do. And sure enough, they made changes, you guys, and they started doing those things. And NextStar is a pretty dang awesome organization. There's a lot of great organizations out there that do that. But if your managers are not practicing your service system, then you're probably not going to grow as big as you'd like to grow. Oh, wow. Chad's going to have to answer that one.
Hey, we might have to answer that one later because we're pretty much over time.